It was true 100 years ago. It's still true today. We believe in God. And we believe in the resurrection. We believe in what He is doing in His living church. It is such a great honor to introduce to this pulpit and to our congregation this morning the General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God nationally and the Chairman of the World Pentecostal Fellowship, a man, a brother, a friend whose reach around our world for the cause of Christ is so immense. We have the highest esteem and regard for Reverend Thomas Trask, our leader and a wonderful example of the heart and passion of God for our world today. Brother Trask, it's wonderful to have you with us today. We welcome you, we salute you, and we thank God that you would be with us today.
Thank you very much. Stay right here. Stay here, Jim. The Assemblies of God believes in plaques. If you haven't learned that, you haven't been around as long. So I'd like to present one to you, Pastor, on behalf of the Worldwide Fellowship in the U.S., 12,311 other Assembly of God churches, 33,000 ministers, the General Presbytery, the 56 million worldwide. We are delighted to honor you and this great church on this day. The plaque reads, "The General Council of the Assemblies of God gratefully acknowledges the 100th anniversary of the coming of Pentecost to Springfield, Missouri, which resulted in the formation of Central Assembly of God, and extends its congratulations to Pastor James Bradford and the congregation upon the occasion of their centennial celebration, June the 3rd, 2007. Beautiful. We honor you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stay here. Thank you. Love you, Jim. That's
beautiful.
Thank you. Love you too. Thank you very much. I said to the Board of Administration, thank you very, very much. Central Assembly has been such a giver over these many years, and the General Council, Pastor, has been the benefactor. You've made your facilities available, staff, and all that you and this fine church represent. And I said to the board, I'd like to take a tangible gift. You probably got a couple of plaques someplace. So we, on behalf of the General Council, I want to present this check to you, $5,000, and on this your anniversary, Sunday, say thank you very much. Take your Bibles with me. Would you please go with me to the fourth chapter of the book of Joshua? 100 years, you're older than we are. Now you figure that out. Assemblies of God is 93 years old, but you're 100. I want to talk to you about rocks, this fourth chapter of the book of Joshua. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you out hence, out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. These were not little rocks, but these were boulders. Had to be carried on the shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. You say, what's all this about? Why? Well, the scripture tells us why. He said, The Lord wants Israel to be reminded. That's why we have communion. The communion table is a reminder of what transpired. It also is more than a reminder, it is a memorial. That's why you have headstones and you have monuments at the cemetery, so that they serve as a memorial to that person. These 12 stones became a memorial. And that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What mean ye by these stones? Why? What is this pile of rocks? What does it represent?" Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua. I want to talk to you about the three R's quickly. First, the first R is this R of remembrance. So let's go back and let's remember what God has brought this church through and from in these 100 years. Phenomenal testimonies could be given. But I'd like to just identify right quickly for you 12 rocks. First of all, it's this first and foremost rock is the fact that God uses leadership. If you go back in the history of Central Assembly and in the present, God has given to this church phenomenal leadership. God always works through leadership. I can tell you across the fellowship called the Assemblies of God, give me a great church and I will show you great leadership. Joshua was chosen by God to be the leader for Israel. God has given to you a marvelous pastor in the person of Jim Bradford. And I don't say this just to be stroking him. He is a godly man, and you as a congregation are blessed. I love the spirit of this man. There's another rock that becomes so important, and it's this rock of people of commitment. What has made this great church over 100 years? What sets apart a church from just the ordinary? I can tell you it's great people. People of commitment. People who are dedicated to the cause of Jesus Christ. I can tell you as we move as a fellowship there, this is becoming less and less important to some people. But I assure you, if there's going to remain a great church called Central Assembly of God, that is going to have great people of great commitment. That's one of those rocks that becomes essential. Then there's another rock. The third one I would call it, the church has to be a church of vision or a church of mission, a church of evangelism. God never intended in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be a witness, not just within the confines of a sanctuary, but to be a witness to a lost and a dying world." And if there's any hope for America today, it's going to come through the witness of the church of Jesus Christ, a church with a mission, a church with a vision, a church with people who are committed to carry out the commandment that God has given to us. Take this gospel into all the world and make disciples. The fourth rock that becomes important is this rock of prayer. I can assure you, nothing of any significance will happen within the confines of a church, until it's prayed down and prayed through. The reason why Central Assembly has become known over the years around the globe is because you've been known as a praying church. Let me remind you again, when your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren ask you in days to come, what has made Central Assembly? Let it be said, we were a praying people. And it will only happen as we must continue to pray. The fifth rock is this rock I call the Word of God. From behind this pulpit have been great men anchored in the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away. And you know, some of you have been around a number of years. And we who have been around in latter years, there comes drifting through the church all kinds of emotional and sensation and some doctrines that have air. But let me tell you, the church that is anchored to God's eternal word, he said, my word shall not pass away. I will not allow my word to return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that wherein it was sent. I'm so grateful for the word of God. May from behind this sacred desk always come the proclamation of God's eternal word. It is able to change the hardest of men and women. It is able to bring answers to the puzzlements and to the needs and lives that people represent today. I'm talking about the power of the word of God. The fifth rock that becomes so important to us is this. We are people of the Holy Spirit. I said, we are people of the Holy Spirit. If it was good for our fathers, if it was good for 100 years ago to begin, let me say it to a Central Assembly. When there are those within the assemblies of God that are wanting to waffle on this whole matter of the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, may we as a church be reminded once again the reason why we are what we are, the reason for God's blessing upon the assemblies of God. It's not because of what happens on Boonville Avenue, but because of the blessed power and the person and the work of the Holy Spirit today. I say again, may the church embrace the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. That's who's brought you to where you're at. It's he, not the cleverness of man or organization, but of his spirit and of his power. There's the seventh that I want to bring to your attention, and it's called the supernatural. May we never lose that. I said the evidence, the testimony, I'm sure, of the book that the sister wrote. And if I was to open this congregation for testimony this morning, there would be a host of you could talk about the healings. That's what's attracted people to us. I said that's what's attracted people to us. When men and women have no place and no one to turn to, and when the doctors say there is no hope, I'm here to tell you there is a supernatural God that rules in the heavens, and the work of the miraculous and the supernatural and the work of the divine is as real today. When Jesus said, yesterday, today, and forever, he changes not. The supernatural must be a part of the church. It's what has been a part of this church in days gone by. Don't settle for less than the supernatural. Don't settle for less than the miraculous. Then the eighth rock, I draw to your attention quickly, is the rock of the altar. There has to be three altars. There has to be the altar in one's personal life. There has to be a family altar. I've had the joy as a boy being raised in an Assembly of God pastor's home. I do not remember a day going to school that we didn't gather around that old open grate furnace in northern Minnesota cold, cold, cold country. We in southern Missouri don't know anything about cold until you got to get up there where it's cold. But we'd gather around that old open great furnace. Mother and Dad would open the Word of God. And then we'd kneel around that family circle, the five of us, and pray. And I'd hear Mother and Dad say, "Oh God, would you keep Ray? And would you keep Tom? And would you keep Patty?" I'm talking about the family altar. If the family's going to hold together today, there needs to be the family altar. You know of what I speak about. And then the third altar there must be is the altar within the church. If the church of Jesus Christ, if the assemblies of God, if Central Assembly ever loses the value and the importance of an altar, let me tell you, it's where the fire of God settles upon. It's when God comes down and condescends to meet with men and women around an altar prayer. I know of what I speak. I've knelt at this altar on many occasions. I've had those of you who've gathered around and laid hands on us and prayed. You can't put value on that. When your sons and your daughters ask you in days to come, "What mean these rocks?" Talk about the altar that has brought the church to where it's at today. And then there's another, the number nine, the ninth rock is this rock of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, "For without faith," say faith, not fate, faith. "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder." You want to please God? You got to be a person of faith. That's what the book says. You say, "Brother Trask, I'd like to have lots of faith." You know how to get lots of faith? It comes out of the book. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's why it's so essential that the word of God becomes foremost in your own life, individually and corporately as a church. I used to say to that congregation in Brightmoor Tabernacle, "The day ever comes that this word is not preached from behind this sacred desk, get out of here. Find a place where it is. Your eternal destiny is at stake." That's how critical it is. Faith. Faith has brought you to where you're at. Faith will be the essence and the element that will be necessary for the tomorrows. You say, "Brother Trask, everything's going well." That's wonderful. But I read my Bible that man is born unto trouble as sparks fly upward. Today it might be well, but tomorrow, then what do you do? It's that faith. Faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Faith in the God of heaven. Faith in the person of the Holy Spirit. Number 10 is the sacrifice, the rock of sacrifice. The rock of sacrifice. It would be redundant for me to even begin. How many times, as you travel across the Assemblies of God, you will find people who mortgaged their homes in the early days. How many remember those? It's true. They mortgaged their homes. They gave everything they had. My father used to say, "The best time for me to go to church is when I don't have anything in my wallet, because if I go with something in my wallet, I'll dump it in." That's a kind of a thing of the past. But let me tell you, it's the sacrifice that has brought the church to where it's at today. And it's going to be the sacrifice of tomorrow. While we sit in this comfortable sanctuary today, there's an army of young men and women, middle-aged and old ones that circle the globe that are coming to the Assemblies of God and saying to world missions and to U.S. missions, "Look, send us to the hard places. We will abandon. We will go. We will do what you've called us to do." I had a businessman call me some time ago, and he said, "Brother Trask," he said, "the real estate was on a Monday morning. Real estate agent just left my office. I said to the real estate agent, 'Sell all my properties.'" He was a man in his 50s. I've known him for years. He had accumulated great wealth. He said, "I said to the real, sell it all." And he said, "Brother, where do you want me to go? Do you want me to go to Romania? Do you want me to crawl in the sewers of Romania and to rescue those children?" He said, I'm willing, I want to make these years that I got left count for the kingdom of God. You can't manufacture that. You can't legislate that. That has to be a divine work of the Holy Spirit that has raised up an army that this day, this church today has been a vital part of and shall be in the days to come. Let me deal with the number 11, please. The 11th rock is the rock of testimony. Look at verse number 6 and 7 of that portion. That this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Jordan. And the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel. How long? Forever. The testimony. The overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Let me quickly move to the second R. It's this celebration is a time to rejoice. God has been good to you. For his provision. For his protection. For his providence. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The psalmist David said in Psalms 5, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. I say it to you, assembly, Central Assembly this morning. Rejoice for these 100 years that God has given to you. Rejoice in God's faithfulness. Rejoice in God's provision. Rejoice in God's providence. Rejoice in God's protection. Hallelujah. In Psalms chapter 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. How many believe that? Someone said, Brother Trask, this world of ours is such a mess. Let me just remind you of something on this year centennial celebration. God's in control. I said, God's in control. This whole thing belongs to him. It's not running according to man's schedule. It's running according to his schedule. Hallelujah. Look at it. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. Say it with me. The Lord of hosts is with us. Not maybe. That's a statement of fact. Hallelujah. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now let me bring you to the third R quickly. It's called readiness. And the 12th stone, or the 12th rock, is this rock of readiness. Because the next great event upon planet Earth, you mark this down. The next great event upon planet Earth is going to be the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. Now, you didn't hear what I said. I said the next great event is called the Blessed Hope. But we must be ready. Hallelujah. Because it could happen today. It could happen before we have a chance to gather for the second service this morning. I believe that. He said, when ye see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Go to the book of Matthew. Read the account of the virgins, the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. It's there for you. In Mark's gospel, chapter 13, but that of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son nor the Father. Take heed. Listen to this. Watch and pray. Not sleep and pray. Watch and pray, for ye know not when the time will come. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a journey into a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Verse 35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, even at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or at the morning, lest come and suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So on this your anniversary Sunday, and on this your 100th centennial celebration, I say to us as a church, watch. For soon he's going to break the eastern sky. Hallelujah. And the Lord himself shall, he said to the angel, why stand ye gazing, looking up into heaven? This same Jesus, not some imposter. He's not going to send somebody else, but he himself shall descend with the trump of God shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. So on this your anniversary, I say to us as a church, be watchful, be ready, for he is soon to return. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You say, Brother Trask, you think we'll have another 100 years? I don't know if you have another 100 hours or 100 minutes. I'm living with expectancy, for soon he shall come. The day of the Lord will come, 2 Peter chapter 3, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness? Look at verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of our God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, it's not because I said it, it's because he said it. I said, he said, you can go to the bank, you can go to Commerce Bank, you can go to any bank. You can bank on this. He said it. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, for we wait with abated breath for your soon return. I pray, O God, that we as a church, we as a people, we're not talking about buildings, we're talking about the church, living stones. We thank you for these rocks that have kept the church over these 100 years. We thank you for pastors and staff members, laity who have been diligent, have been found faithful. Bless them, I pray. I pray now, Lord, as we wait for your soon return, may each one of us be ready. Oh, God, let not one person in this sanctuary this morning, should you come today, would miss your soon return. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and please, no one looking around. You've gathered with us in this first service. Maybe I'm speaking to, first of all, to backsliders. You say, Brother Trask, there was a day that I knew God and I knew the power of the Holy Spirit. I experienced the miraculous and the supernatural. I know what you spoke about. But I've allowed the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches to enter it, and I've lost my way. You're a backslider. Would you just slip up your hand and say, pray for me. I need God. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Slip up your hand. In the lower level, in the balconies. If Jesus was to come today, you wouldn't make it. I can't imagine. For the life of me, I can't imagine the horribleness, the tragedy of missing his soon return. Are you ready? Someone else slip up a hand and say, pray for me. Backsliders. Out across this auditorium. I'm speaking now to the unsaved. You have never accepted Jesus. I'm not asking you to become a member of Central Assembly. There's a time for that. It isn't in membership, it's in relationship. You must know Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Don't you buy into this theology, everybody's going to heaven. It's not true. It's going to be because you've decided to be a follower of his. You're an unsaved person this morning. You would like to accept Jesus Christ. Would you slip up your hand and say, pray for me. While I wait just a moment, raise your hand and put it back down again. Other those, anyone in the balconies, anyone. Father, I pray for those that raise their hands. I pray that your Holy Spirit would now go to that heart. You've already begun the work. You said if we confess our sins, you're just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray this. Let the cleansing power of Jesus Christ cleanse. I ask in Jesus' name. As I close this service and turn it back to the pastor, you've gathered with us on this celebration Sunday. You say, Brother Trask, I need a miracle. I need healing. Maybe you need a miracle in your finances. Maybe you need a miracle in relationships. You need a miracle. I want to pray for you. I want you to stand right where you are, out across this auditorium. Just stand by that pew. That's right. Others of you, just stand in the balcony. Just stand where you are. God is a God of the supernatural. God is a God of the divine. He's a God of the miraculous. They're still standing. If you're near one of these, would you just slip over to them, and ladies to ladies and men to men? And the scripture says, if two shall agree touching any one thing, I don't know, Pastor Bradford, but I just simple enough to believe that God would like to do the miraculous on this celebration Sunday. Now, Lord, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus, heal sick bodies, I pray, oh God. Deliver, I pray. Work a miracle. Our faith is not in man, but our faith is in you. You said all things are possible. All things are possible to them that believe. We believe. We now receive by faith in the powerful name of Jesus. In the powerful name of Jesus. The powerful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Would you all stand together with me as we continue to pray for those around us? Lord, we just lift our praise to you today. We lift our worship to you today, Lord. Oh, we thank you that you're able to touch us wherever we are, to forgive our sin and to make us new from the inside out. We thank you that you're able to heal and deliver and provide. We thank you're able to fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, oh God, for all that you are able to do. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you. We welcome your presence this morning. We receive your grace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. just a moment, I'd like us to sing. Pastor Tom earlier in our service was playing a little song that just simply went, "Thank you, Lord." And I'd like him to lead that just as we conclude in just a moment. I just want to say to those of you who you raise your hand to begin a relationship with the Lord, I'm going to ask a few of the prayer partners just to linger here at the front between services. You'll see people standing here. You can come, and they will help you. And then perhaps take you to our resource room, which is in room 122, just inside the Boonville entrance. And we have all kinds of free material to help you to investigate what faith is all about and to begin your journey with the Lord. And let's just, the rest of us as prayer partners, come. Even while we sing, you can come forward if you want to begin a relationship with Christ, and someone will hear, will pray with you, help you understand that important step. Pastor Tom.